How our lives have changed, and who would have thought it just a few weeks ago? Self-isolation and social distancing, words and actions that have now become part of our daily vocabulary and our lives. To begin with, there seemed almost a novelty about it. We watched reports of China and then Italy and then Spain, and we witnessed what was happening there. Surely that wouldn't be the same for us, not Great Britain. We can fight this and still carry on almost normally. It's all a bit inconvenient, but we'll get through it. It was interesting to see how those other countries reacted and to witness how they coped daily. It felt almost surreal, almost as if we were watching a film and looking in from the outside. This was happening to somebody else, but not to us. But suddenly the daily instruction became clear. Stay in, only go out if you absolutely need to. Companies, ensure your employees work from home where they can. Don't travel unless you absolutely must. The first weekend, which also coincided with lovely spring weather, saw the parks, the beaches, and the National Heritage sites packed with people. Ice cream vans with queues of people. People climbing Snowdon. The government very quickly reacted to this, and we were firmly warned, do not treat this as a joke. Take it seriously. Support the NHS, save lives, stay at home. Exercise once a day, but please don't mix with family and friends. Don't go to the beach or the parks. Don't travel unnecessarily. First the pubs and restaurants closed, and then leisure centres, gyms, theatres, cinemas. No parties, no group gatherings. Events of all sorts were cancelled or deferred. And then churches closed. No public masses. Only the celebrant, the priest, able to say Mass. But initially churches remained open for private worship. But that also had to stop. Closed churches. Masses live streamed on the internet. Non-essential shops closed, and we were encouraged to stay indoors where possible. A new word has been added to our vocabulary. Lockdown. Our lives have dramatically changed, and for most of us have been turned upside down and will probably never be quite the same again. A global situation which we are living through and for which we had little to no warning. Although now, looking back, even after just a few weeks, the signs were almost always there, signs that we didn't really recognise or want to acknowledge or believe. For our young people, those at school, it must have been a terrible time of disappointment and frustration. Many students have revised and worked so hard to gain good results in their mock exams. I imagine that many have questioned why they've been working so hard and revising right up to when this terrible virus prematurely closed their schools. It has meant that examinations have been cancelled. There is uncertainty about how they will be assessed. And the camaraderie, the atmosphere of the final school term and the celebration that they would normally enjoy with their peer group and their friends denied them. All the plans for the final term, the revision, the tension, the exams, with their friends in their last school term, no parties, their proms cancelled, goodbye to their teachers and school, all have to be put on hold. Although it is very sad that we are locked down because of this virus, it is at least providing us with times to reflect, to perhaps pray and to witness the many encouraging signs of human kindness shining through and offering us great hope. The health authority, you will remember, originally asked for 250,000 volunteers. It seemed ridiculous. An army actually came forward. 750,000 came forward and more. Communities gather to help each other and to form self-help groups. In our daily walk, Margaret and I, our exercise allowance, we pass many people, usually on the other side of the road, and we often shout to strangers or to people that we know from a distance. And we smile and we joke with each other. And on a Thursday, when we all clap for nurses and health workers in the evening, standing in our front garden or at our front door, it brings a lump to my throat as people clapping, cheering, blowing whistles and banging on saucepans acknowledge the great work of our health professionals. So the big question for all of us now is, do we have faith? For Catholics, for Christians, do we trust in Jesus? Trust is required of us on many levels. It is required on the level of receiving all the spiritual, emotional and psychological strength we need to not only survive each day, but also to thrive in many ways. Trust is also required on the level of God providing for our basic day-to-day needs, such as food, shelter and clothing. For most people, these areas of trust aren't difficult. But for others, it requires a tremendous amount of surrender. God sometimes calls us to trust in him in ways that we do not seem to be immediately practical and logical. We might reflect on how God sometimes calls us, you, to follow him in ways that you do not immediately recognize or that make sense. Don't be surprised if at times God is calling you to listen more intently to his promise. God's ways are far above our ways. Sometimes his call is radical, and when you are deeply convicted in faith that God is calling you to trust him, then just do it. Trust him in all things, and he will always provide for you. Christians have always been famous for strong faith. Catholics have been known for caring for the sick and the dying, supporting the homeless, helping the marginalized. During significant plagues, after all, to risk one's life for the sake of another is a very Jesus-like thing to do. Christians are, of course, not alone in these brave acts of service. This kind of self-sacrificial service is central to many of the world's religions. But the dynamics of the current pandemic that we now know as COVID-19 are different. Staying close to others might threaten their life more than one's own. It poses a new kind of problem. How do you love your neighbour when you aren't even supposed to be near them? The challenge for our Catholic communities is how to foster community and support one another whilst keeping physical distance. Many communities are live streaming services or using social media and other platforms such as Zoom. And my family have discovered the app House Party, and we're having great fun in using it daily. One Catholic Mass community has set up its own WhatsApp group, and the levels of interaction and prayer with each other is incredible. We are so grateful in Salisbury to have our Masses being live streamed, and we thank our priests. We really do give thanks for what they're offering us. At the heart of any religion is community, people gathering to worship, to pray, caring for one another, and eating together. There is therefore something strange about asking members of our congregations to show their love by keeping away from one another. It is a difficult, sad, and counter-cultural thing for many of us to do, yet it is what we are asking of our communities. To put our trust in the hands of scientists and health professionals who advise us that this is the best way to show care for the most vulnerable in our community. Perhaps these new circumstances will lead to a wider range of faith expressions and fundamentally change the nature of our faith. Whatever the future looks like, creative and new forms of care and worship are emerging. It is hard to imagine these won't leave a legacy on our Christian communities and all our Catholic communities. For weeks, I've heard people saying, I can't wait for things to get back to normal. I've been joining in, I've been saying it myself. But as I've thought about this current situation, I've realised how much I don't want things to go back to the way they were. So I hope that the next time a friend grabs me and pulls me in for a hug, the next time I can hug you, I take the time to appreciate the gift of your embrace. I hope that the next time I'm sitting in a crowded pub or a packed restaurant or on a train or on a bus, I take the time to look around at the smiling faces. I take the time to listen to people on their phones, the loud voices, and become thankful for the gift of community. I hope that when I am at the supermarket that I take a moment to be thankful for the necessities of life and for the amazing people who work so hard to keep us supplied. When I need medical help, I remember all the NHS staff who risk their health to save ours. Those people in care homes, the carers. I hope that I never again take for granted the ability to hop in the car and visit a friend, go to church or go to the shops. So the truth is, I don't really want things to return to the way they once were. I hope we take the lessons and challenges of the past few weeks and create a new normal. My goal is to be more thankful, to love more, and to truly appreciate all the blessings each day that were so easily overlooked just a mere few weeks ago. If someone tells you that they love you, take it to heart. So my prayer, Lord, I place all my trust in you. Lord, my faith at times is so weak. At times I doubt your goodness and your wisdom in my life. Help me to always trust more in your gentle invitation than in my own understanding of life. What do I know? Help me to be led by you and to always live daily in accordance with your perfect plan. Jesus, I put all my trust in you. Amen.